I'm Sissel, and I am participating in this year's Danish DMGP, and you're listening to Building Bridges podcast.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi, and this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. I am alone in the podcast studio right now, but that will change any minute because I will be joined by Sissel from Denmark. She is one of the finalists of Dansk Melodi Grand Prix 2025, and as of now, she is the bookies' favorite to actually win and represent Denmark in Basel this year. So that makes me even more excited to talk to her. We will find out how the preparations are going and why she thinks that she has the biggest chance to qualify for the grand final and for Denmark to finally return to the Eurovision grand final with her song Hallucination. So, without further ado, let's build the bridge to Denmark. So once again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, how do you feel? It must be a very exciting time right now, and March 1st is coming closer and closer. How is the mood at this moment?
It's coming closer. I can feel it definitely. I'm really enjoying the process. I'm actually just like trying to be in the moment, because sometimes, like right now, it feels like I'm just waiting for March 1st, basically. So I'm just, everything is, my life is put on hold. So, but I'm trying to like just enjoy the days up to, and I don't have a lot to like do right now. I just have this like free weekend, for example. And then next week we have to like, then we're starting to really prepare. So, but I'm very stress-free, actually. I'm just enjoying the process and having fun with it, actually.
Yeah, enjoy it as much as you can. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Exactly.
So I've been looking into your discography a little bit, and I think you're a fairly recent artist in the Danish music scene. How was your path into the music industry?
So I was born and raised in the Faroe Islands, and I have been like in the music industry in the Faroe Islands since I was 10. So I have always like been singing and make music and been in musicals as well. And then I moved to Denmark like 5 years ago, and I have always like loved Eurovision and DMGP, and I always said like I would like to maybe be in it if there was like a possibility for it. So I think it was like 2 years ago, I started working with two guys that are named Christian and Max. And Max is also participating in this year's DMGP. Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny. So we made a song that was specifically made for like the Danish DMGP for last year. But it didn't get selected. And after that, actually, because they were so happy about my vocals and thought I was an amazing singer, so they wanted to work with me from there. And from there, actually, I've met like a lot of people through networking in music, and then ended up like in some camps and ended in a camp that the arrangement set up that is my management now and my record label, where we made like songs for specifically Eurovision. And actually, like that's basically how it happened. So we made like 25 songs at that camp, like all around, and ours was the only one to get selected. They were like, yes, they would like that one. And then we just worked out from there, actually. Yeah, basically. So I would say I have been very lucky and privileged to have gotten forward this fast in the Danish industry. Because I know a lot of people struggle a lot to get through to a management or a label. So I feel very lucky and blessed to like even have gotten through this like this fast, if you can say that.
Yeah, yeah. And you have a very strong songwriting team behind you too. You have Joy and Linnea Depp, for instance, who are huge Eurovision artists, and also Melanie Weber, who's been on this podcast before. So how is working with this team, and are they supporting you right now as well?
Oh my God, yeah, they are so amazing. So they were like, I think it's like co-writers at the camp that we were at with Marcus Winterjohn as well. And they're like, their energy is just so uplifting. They're two women that are like, they come into a room and they just like somehow like make everything fun, and they make it like, and they challenge you as well. So when they like came into the room and heard like the demo of Hallucination, the song, they were like looking at each other. They were like, okay, shit, this could be something. And they were like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then we sat down and like talked about how we could like maybe write something different and like the form of the song and stuff like that. And then we got like Joy Depp as well to come and produce, like lift the song even further. And it's like so crazy to work with that talented people that are so into the music industry, that are so freaking talented. I feel so privileged to even have worked with them, because and they still like, they cheer me on every day. They write to me like, hi, how are you? And Melanie was supposed to be joining us at the team, like at the MGP, but there was like some work that came in the way, but they're very supportive and they would all love to be there, but it's just unfortunately not this year. But they will be supporting from the like, how do you see, like back scenes or something. Yeah,
but maybe if you go to Eurovision, they will find the time to support you in Basel.
They probably will. I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, there's no Eurovision without Linnea, Joy or Melanie, I think.
Yeah, right. So, and sometimes they have to jump between delegations in the green room because they wrote so many songs, and then they're with Denmark and then with another country.
Oh yes. Yeah. I think like they wrote some for the Swedish, it's like different songs right now that are in the final. So that's going to be, it's going to be a lot for them.
But how was your reaction when you found out that you made it into the final of Dansk Melodi Grand Prix?
Oh, I was so, oh my God, I was so happy. So Anas, my manager, he called me and he was like, DR, they like you. They really like the song. And my whole team was like, oh, we don't want to believe it yet, because we didn't like get the fully like accepted, like, here's a contract, you're in. They were like, okay, we want to work with this. So it took actually a while from that we were 100% on, like, we are in. So until then, we were just like freaking excited, and we didn't even want to go out to celebrate with a beer, because we were like, oh, we don't want to ruin it, like, if we won't make it. But so they were actually in the process with us, like making the song. So they came in listening to the song and came with some feedback and said like, maybe we should do this and this instead. So they were actually in the process all along, but we were ecstatic. It's like a huge accomplishment, like just being a songwriter or a producer that hasn't gotten through with the DMGP, for example. Like it's a tough competition. The old ones are so, how do you say it? Like they do it a lot, so it's very easy to just like get the same. So with my team were just like ecstatic, like even the opportunity to, like, this may be also a start for some as well. Like, okay, we could be like write songs for other people at Eurovision.
Yeah, and I mean, Hallucination is doing really well everywhere. I don't know if you keep up with all the numbers, but you are the most streamed song on Spotify of all the contestants. You have the most views on YouTube. Even in the betting odds, you're number one right now. Is this something that you follow, and does this make you feel more confident, or does it add pressure?
So I did follow up with it in the start, just to like know where people's heads are at. But I stopped doing it because it was, when we wrote the song and we were like, we knew that we were going to be in it, we had like a strong feeling of this could be a potential winning song. It's not, you're never safe for sure, but it was like a feeling that it has potential. So when we got the feedback, we were like, okay, we were right. Like, people like it. It has some potential. But it also can like put a picture in my mind that I'm like, oh, I've already won, but there's nothing. there's like a lot of things can happen. There's nothing to be sure of. But either way, I'm just ecstatic and happy that people love it, even if I don't win. Like, people like it and they listen to it. So that's like something that I'm very grateful for. Yeah. Also because I don't think that you can't like really compete in music, because it's very individual what you like. And there's amazing artists as well in this year's DMGP. So, but it definitely somehow puts pressure on me in that way that I feel like it's a bigger downfall if I lose. If I was like in the odds of like being number four, if I won, that would be like a huge win. But if I lose, it will be like, oh, it feels like a bigger loss. But I mean, either way, people are listening to the song, they like it, and that's what I'm most grateful about. And that's what I'm trying to focus on, like the feedback of the people. So even if I don't win, it's completely fine. They're amazing artists as well, so it's all good.
And I think in a way you've already won. You have the numbers, you know, the numbers are in your favor. So even if you end up not winning the competition, you still have so much profit from that song and so many benefits. And a song that people really like, obviously.
Yeah. So, and that's like what I'm trying to focus on as well. Yeah. Like mostly. Yeah.
Did you start rehearsing already?
Oh, yes. I rehearse all the time. Yeah. I do a lot of vocal warm-ups and trying to really take care of myself right now these days. So I'm working out a lot. I'm eating a lot of protein and very nutritious food. I'm trying to keep away from everything that can make me sick, because I am scared shitless that I'm going to be like all of a sudden like have a cold right before. So right now I'm really trying to take care of myself, but I'm singing the song every day. But I'm a very, I don't know if you can say it, like I am a vocalist, that's my instrument, so I don't feel pressured in terms of my vocals. I think it's more like, how do I perform it, how do I like make people feel me, because it's such an upbeat song and I want to like have people also feel some kind of intimacy with the song, even if it's like a dance kind of song. So that's actually what I'm focusing most on, is like, how do I reach out through the song, even though it's upbeat, basically. But yeah, we're rehearsing every day. I'm standing in front of the mirror with like a hairbrush every day. And yeah, that's, I feel 16 again, so.
Yeah. But you already told us you're a Eurovision fan, and I'm sure you followed it a lot. So you also know that Denmark has recently not been doing so well in the contest. Why do you think that is, and why do you think you might have the potential to change that?
I mean, I can't say. I think it's hard, because I've watched Eurovision always, but I still get like somehow, how do you say, like surprised every year of who is like in the odds of winning, and also in the other Scandinavian countries, where I'm thinking like, of course that song is gonna win, and then it's another one where I'm like, what? So I don't know how, like, it, I don't really know how they pick these winners, because already now, for example, it says that Måns is gonna win the Swedish Melodifestivalen, and we haven't even heard his song. So I'm like, what? Like, that's not fair. It's so biased.
It's not, no.
So I think I can't really say. I think the problem with Denmark has definitely been that it has been missing some kind of show. The show has always been lacking. Maybe they don't put a lot of money in it. I don't know. But I think that's a lot that is lacking. And also, I think Denmark isn't really daring. So if we like see Finland, and we see Belgium, and we see a lot of like other countries that put like absurd songs out there, and they're like fun, that like people like when it's like a role that they put on when they go on the scene. But that's not for me, for example. So I wouldn't like release that kind of song. But I think I love those kind. I love Cha Cha, for example. Like it's like a role. It's definitely like, yeah. But I think like, I feel like, I don't know why, I have a feeling if I win, I would definitely be able to qualify in the finals. Like, I would be like, there's no way that this song could not qualify in the finals. Then I would be, what is going on? And it's been 5 years, so it's also like a pressure of, if you don't qualify, like, oh, again, Denmark sucks. Yeah, but we can see, like, the last time it qualified, I think it was like with Rasmussen, so it was like the Viking kind of scene. Yeah. So it's, and that, like, also that has a role, like, so people like when it's something, it has a history behind it, some yeah. story behind it. But I'm trying to, I feel also like my song, my specifically my song is the first one to be in this specific genre in Denmark. So I hope yeah. that will stand out as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. And I think we can rely that you're gonna sing this flawlessly. That's the most important part. And it's, you know, catchy at the same time. So I feel you have pretty good odds if you make it.
I hope so.
But yeah, you told us already you're from the Faroe Islands. You would be the second Danish representative after Riley. Mm-hmm. How is Eurovision regarded in the Faroe Islands? Is there a big Eurovision fan scene as well?
I mean, I've grown up in the Faroe Islands and we've always watched it. And a lot of my friends have always watched it. So I think, I mean, specifically if there is a Faroese participant, and that's in everything, in sports as well, because we are such a small country, people are really like supportive, and they're very proud to, like, such a small country can get through the, like, through 5 other million in Denmark.
Yeah.
But like in my friend groups, in my family, we have always watched it. Specifically the Danish DMGP. Not everyone watches the Eurovision, I think, but the DMGP is like something that a lot of people watch. And with Riley, he's a good friend of mine. I think there's the difference between me and him is that I live here in Denmark, so I'm planning on probably living here. I don't think I will be moving back, but I don't know. Nothing's like sure. And he's an amazing artist as well. But I think maybe that when he was talking, he was speaking in English language instead of Danish. And the Danish people weren't really happy about that. Because they want him to represent the country. And if he can't even speak the language, they were like, oh, I don't know. It was maybe unfortunate because he's an amazing person and an amazing singer as well, actually. But yeah, I think like people in the Faroe Islands are very supportive of their own, and that's like an amazing quality that the small countries have. I think, like, we stand together a lot.
So you're gonna do your interviews in Danish, not in English.
I'm fluently in Denmark in Danish. My father is also, he grew up in Denmark, so I have always been a lot of Denmark. I went to like something called after school in Denmark as well. So I've always had a big connection to Denmark. So I don't feel like I am not representing Denmark. I feel like I'm definitely representing Denmark, and then with Faroese roots as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for talking to us. And maybe for the last few minutes, we have a strong Danish and also a Faroese community among our listeners. And those are the people who can vote for you at the end. So do you have a message for them, and maybe just for all the Eurovision fans out there as well?
I just want to say thank you so much for all of your support. It means the world to me. And keep the community alive. It's so important. I love the community. It's full of diversity. It's full of like being too much, and that's okay. And like being yourself. And that's what I love about the Eurovision community. It's like nothing is not acceptable when it comes to like being yourself. And that's like, I'm like, please keep it alive. I love this community. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Well, thank you so much to you. And of course, the best of luck for March 1st.
Thank you so much.
We hope to see you in Basel.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Wow, Suzal really has the confidence and the power that you need for Eurovision. And I think she has a good chance to do Denmark proud and to actually bring them back to the Eurovision Grand Final. She is a Eurovision fan. She probably has a clear vision for her staging. And we know that she can deliver the vocals. As she said, she's very confident in that. And confidence is key at the end. This is exactly what you need in Eurovision. So, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you liked it, maybe leave a review and follow us on our socials. We are at Building Bridges Pod pretty much everywhere. Don't forget to tune in next time. Bye-bye.